Stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord, the word of the living God, from the prophet Isaiah and from the Gospel of Matthew. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14 says, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test.' And then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.'" Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 24. "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. Father in heaven, we come before your throne today in the presence of your son Jesus. Lord, we enter this house of the Lord today with purpose. God, we want to come and worship you this morning in spirit with our hearts and in truth with our mind. Father, we ask this morning that you would send your Holy Spirit upon this place, and you would send your angels charge concerning this place. We pray, Lord, that you would speak unto us today. I pray, Lord, that you would open all of our eyes this morning to how awesome you are. Lord, may you open our ears this morning that we might hear in this assembly the voice of God speaking into our innermost being. Lord, we come this morning with many different things and challenges and trials and questions and fears and victories. We ask, God, that you would meet us here today and that you do this now all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. And good morning. It's good to be with you all. I want to start off this morning by this last week, Pastor Graham and BJ had 54 years of marriage. So I think that's amazing. On December the 18th, right? Okay, so actually on Tuesday, Sin and I did 36, which isn't bad, right? That's not bad. So, you know, 36 years. Hey, I just want to put out a plug. So January the 24th, we're going to do a one-day marriage retreat here at the church. For all of you that are out there that are married or you're thinking of maybe getting married, this would be a really great thing. We are planning on taking a Saturday here, January the 24th, and just pour into marriages here at this church. And so we want to, and by the way, we're going to have childcare available that day. So my heart is just to encourage you all in your marriages or future-to-be marriages. So think about it. So do you guys remember the date I just said? January the 24th. It's on a Saturday here. It's a one-day marriage retreat. And our objective is just to speak into your marriages and help us all just to have good marriages. So just want to give that plug. So it's coming. It's going to be awesome. And congratulations, Pastor Graham and BJ and Sin and I. God is good. God is good. Have you heard that Christmas is on Thursday? How many people in here still have to buy a present? Raise your hand. There they are. Now, how many people have to wrap presents? Me too. Just want to let you know that you have a deadline between now and Thursday. And again, you guys, Christmas Eve, it's going to be awesome. Come here. It's going to be really cool. And we're going to have a good time. And remember to bring your umbrella. Looks like it might be raining. So get ready, people. It's on its way. Do you remember when you first got Christmas? When you got it. When it hit your head and you went, see, I didn't get Christmas until my early 20s. I totally got Santa Claus. I totally got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We had the clay animations when I grew up that all my kids made fun of, but man, they were awesome. I got all of that, and I have to say, in our home, we did have a nativity. And I would look at it and stare at it. But it was in my early 20s when I began to get Christmas. That God came to earth and dwelt among us. I still remember my first Christmas when I really got it. And I was like, this is amazing that the creator of the heavens and earth would empty himself and become a child and dwell in a manger in Bethlehem. Do you remember when you first got Christmas? For me, Christmas season is a time for me when my ability of reason and thought is kicked in. Because as I look at this Christmas season, I'm reminded of the propheticness of the scriptures and God. And I'm reminded that this is not just a Christmas story, that this is not mythology, but it's truth. Christ coming is prophetic truth. It's real. He's real. Christmas, for me this morning, and this Christmas season, it just reminds me in my brain that all this is true. You see, Christmas is built on the prophecies of the coming one. It's called the Advent. It means the coming, right? Being fulfilled in Jesus. Last Sunday, I spoke on the very first prophecy that was ever mentioned in the Bible. And it's on page 2 or page 3 of your Bible. From the moment in Genesis of the great fall, Genesis is the design, it speaks of the creation of all things. And God says it's all good. And yet, when we get to the third chapter, we see the fall of mankind. And immediately, as mankind falls, God speaks of a Savior. And I spoke of this, right? Do you guys remember theologians call this a special thing. Does anybody remember what it's called? The proto-evangelium. Yes! Give her a round of applause. That's it. It's the proto-evangelium. My seminary professors be so proud, right? Do you know that the very first prophecy that's spoken in the Bible, theologians give it a name. It's called the proto, first, evangelium. It means first good news, first gospel. The first time God speaks into our broken fallenness is 2 or 3 pages into your Bible. What does that tell you about the heart of God? Yes. God is coming for you. God just doesn't leave you in a broken, fallen state. He's coming for you. Welcome to the heart of the Almighty God. God cares for you. God loves you. The very first time a prophecy is ever spoken is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it says that one will come from the seed of woman, which will destroy the works of Satan. Not from the seed of woman and man, but the seed of woman alone. The Bible speaks of a virgin birth. The second or the third page into your Bible. Is this the only place in this Bible that speaks of a virgin birth? Answer? Yes. No! 700 years before Jesus was born, God sent the prophet Isaiah to speak once again. This morning, we're going to unpack the cousin of the proto-evangelium, Isaiah chapter 7. And it's kind of cool. I had a college student ask about this text. Pastor Frank, Isaiah 7 doesn't sound very Christmassy. Well, it is, because the angel says it is. When the angel speaks to Joseph, my goal this morning is for all of us at the end of the day to walk out of here and go, I get Isaiah 7. I get the Christmas prophecy of Isaiah 7. And what this sign meant 700 years before Jesus was born, what it meant 700 years after when Jesus was born. And you guys, this sign isn't just for then. This is a sign for you this morning. And what does this sign mean for you? And what does the sign mean for me? And here's the notes this morning. So this is where we're going. If you're going to take notes of me, note number one is this. Isaiah 7 was a sign to King Ahaz in 700 BC. But it wasn't just a sign back then. It's also a sign to Joseph 700 years later. And you guys, it's a sign for us this morning in this room from God Almighty, if we'll just listen. This is where we're heading, where we're going. Sound cool? Okay, check this out. In 700 BC, there's this king named Ahaz. He's the king of Judea, and this king has a political problem. He's got two countries attacking him, wants to kill him, wants to wipe out the throne of David. He wants to wipe, these two kingdoms want to wipe out Jerusalem, and Ahaz is afraid. For if you're one king and you got two countries attacking you, you should be afraid, right? Because you're outnumbered. And in the midst of this king's anxiety, God sends the prophet Isaiah to talk to him. And we read this, but I want to read it to you again. It's actually kind of cool. It's up by the... when you read Isaiah 7, it says, it even gives the location in Jerusalem where these guys had a conversation, which is up by the pools of Bethesda years later where Jesus did his first miracle in Jerusalem. It's at these pools north of the temple that Ahaz meets Isaiah the prophet. And this is what it says. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. And then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. It's because he's from the house of David. He's from the line of King David. This is the line of Judah, right? Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Are you now going to try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Okay. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You're going to call him Emmanuel. He will be called Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject wrong and choose what's right. But before the boy knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread are toast. Pastor Frank's translation. Okay. Imagine this. If God was to come up and ask, do you want me to give you a sign that I'm real? Ask in the deepest depths or the highest heights, would you take him up on it? If a prophet of God spoke to you today and came up to you and said, do you want a sign from God that God is real? Would you take him up on it? The deepest depths. Okay, I got it. I'm going whale watching next Tuesday in Dana Point. I would love to have 100 whales jump out of the water at the same time. Right? That would be an impressive sign at the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Imagine 100 gray whales just jump out of the water. That would be a good sign, wouldn't it? Or how many of you in here would like a sign? Would you like God to give you the numbers to the $1 billion lottery? Anyone want that? I mean, imagine God saying, ask me to give you a sign. Would you take him up on it? Apparently Ahaz didn't take God up on it, and he acts all spiritual. And the prophet calls him a hypocrite. Really? Do you guys sense there's a little history? Okay, you got Isaiah, King Ahaz, and God. You want a sign? No. You're a hypocrite, acting all spiritual. Is there history? Read Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah. You guys, there's history that's happening in the midst of this. Here's the problem. As God sends his prophet Isaiah, the people of God and the rulers of God stink. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Just background to what's happening. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth. For the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its master. The donkey knows its owner, right? But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. This is God speaking. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children in corruption, given to corruption. They've forsaken the Lord. They've spurned the Holy One of Israel, and they've turned their backs. How many people in here have a dog or a cat? When you go home today, will your dog or cat be happy to see you? Yes. Will your dog or cat know you? Yes. What God is saying is that your pets treat you better than how God's people treat him. Your pets know your name, know who you are, know that you love them, know that you'll feed them. God says 700 years before Jesus was born that my people, even the animals know who their masters are. My people have completely rejected me. God says that his people are worse than your animals, your pets. They're less grateful. They're less loyal. They're less understanding than your cat or dog. Okay? The circumstances of Isaiah is that God's people are in rebellion and the leaders are terrible. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 20c, your rulers are rebels, partners, they're thieves. Isaiah 1:23. They all love bribes. And they chase after gifts. Can you imagine a politician taking a bribe? Would that be shocking? And they chase after gifts? They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. What's the history to Isaiah 7? Well, God's people are a piece of work, and God's leaders are a piece of work. And King Ahaz, in Isaiah 7, is a dirtbag. In 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, this is Ahaz, the king that Isaiah is speaking to. Isaiah was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in detestable practices of the nations of the Lord has driven out before the Israelites. King Ahaz is a Baal worshiper. And in order to worship the god Baal, you sacrifice children to worship the god of the Canaanites. Remember, you guys remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal, right? Anybody? Ahaz, the king of Israel, sitting on the house of David, worships the god Baal and actually took his firstborn son and sacrificed his firstborn son to the god Baal. King Ahaz is a dirtbag. Okay? You get it? This is the background. In 700 BC, God's people and their leaders stink. And God has removed his hand of protection, his blessing from them, and they are being invaded. Their cities, their crops are being lost to invasion. King Ahaz is the king of Judah, ruling in Jerusalem, and he's under attack from two nations, Ephraim and Syria of Damascus. And God sends Isaiah to the king saying that these nations will not take Jerusalem, not because you're a good person, FYI, but basically because I love King David and I'm going to preserve his line. So Ahaz, you stink. But God's going to protect you anyway on account of King David. So Isaiah is sent by God telling the king that Jerusalem will not fall. And God knows that King Ahaz will reject this word from him through his prophet Isaiah. So he says, ask me for a sign. Okay? Okay. We've read it twice. Let's read it one more time. You ready? Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. Knowing Ahaz, imagine him saying this. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Ahaz sounds pretty godly, doesn't he? Who am I to test the Lord? And yet this guy follows the god Baal and sacrificed his kid to this god. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of God? Isaiah calls him a hypocrite. You hypocrite. You're trying to pretend you're all godly? You're a dirtbag. I know it. God knows it. And you know it. But you still sit on the throne. So God's going to give a sign. And then God says, I'm giving you a sign anyway. You didn't ask for one. Here it comes. A virgin in your courts is going to give birth to a kid. And they're going to call that kid Emmanuel. Before that kid can eat solid food, this threat will pass of these two kings attacking you. There you go. This is at the pools of Bethesda. And I'm sure Ahaz went, all right, nice talking with you. See you later. The king goes one way with his court. Isaiah leaves. Shortly after this, by the way, an unmarried young woman in the royal house of Ahaz, who's a virgin, gets married, and shortly conceives. And at the time of the naming of the baby, in the presence of the king, the parents announce that they've given their kid a really unique name. Emmanuel. And King Ahaz goes, interesting. That's funny. That you would name that kid that. Not many people name their kid Emmanuel. And Ahaz goes, oh my gosh. This girl was a virgin when I met Isaiah at the pool, and now she's married, and now they're going to have a kid, and now on their own they decide, coincidence? Coincidence? It's a sign to the king. I could see Ahaz going, dude, there might be something to Isaiah. That was a lucky guess, right? Isaiah chapter 7, verses 15 and 60 says, he will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Before this child is old enough to eat solid food of the land, which is curds and honey, before this child is old enough to have moral discretion, the nations that threaten Jerusalem will be gone. And it totally happens. And by the way, this is history. In 732 BC, only a year or two after this prophecy was given, the Assyrians laid waste to the land of Syria, and they went and took out the 10 tribes of Israel in the northern territories. These two nations never threatened the southern kingdom again. It just happened. Coincidence? No, it's a sign to the king. There's definitely something to the prophet Isaiah and to Isaiah's God, right? Here's note number two, just so you're aware of what this sign meant something. Write this down. Isaiah 7 was a sign to King Ahaz for him to believe and follow God. It's a sign from God to the king saying, I'm real, I'm here, and you need to believe me and you need to follow me. It's a sign to King Ahaz. Did King Ahaz follow God? Answer? No. Happens. I know of a lot of people I never thought would leave the Lord who saw God, who knows that God's real. It's wild to sit and watch people live out their life in Jesus over the years and see them reject God. Happens. God gives signs to people. People walk away from him anyway. It happens. Not shocking. Ahaz was given a sign from God, but he still didn't follow God. Don't be shocked. People are really stubborn. Ask Judas. There are people that see God do amazing things and they still walk away. Ahaz did. Okay, check this out. And this is really cool. So Isaiah 7 is written in Hebrew. The word signs is plural. Ask for a sign. The word is signs. It's plural. In the Hebrew, the word's plural. Do you know why? Because 700 years later, there's a guy named Joseph in Nazareth who has a problem. Okay, here's his problem. He's engaged to be married to this girl, and she shows up pregnant. Is that a problem? Yes or no? He knows it's not his kid. Does he have a problem? Yes or no? Okay, but don't worry about it, see? because she says, I'm pregnant, but it's from the Holy Spirit. So don't worry about it. Does Joseph believe her?
No.
Would you?
No.
But Joseph is a godly man. He sees the circumstance that's laid before him. Okay, dude, what's my options? I could declare publicly that this woman is an adulteress, and in that day, that's a death sentence. So Joseph is like really heartbroken, people. And he still loves Mary. And he says, I'm putting her away quietly. This is my plan. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 24, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. Dude, this is just going to disappear. I'm not going to make any public statements. But after he had considered this, this is his battle plan, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And Joseph is in a dream the whole time. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph has a problem. The angel comes to Joseph in a dream. It's all true. And he gives Joseph the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. He quotes Isaiah chapter 7. This will be a sign, a child, the Messiah, virgin birth. You guys, if you were engaged and you found out your wife was pregnant, would you believe her or would you need a sign? Well, Joseph needed a sign. Okay? And God gave him a sign. This is a sign from God. This is prophecy fulfilled. And I could see Joseph wake up and go, no way. I wonder if Joseph just went to the synagogue and said, can you guys give me the Isaiah scroll, and looked at Isaiah 7 and went, this is my wife, you know, right? He woke up and was totally on board. And this is a note number 3. Isaiah 7 was a sign for Joseph to believe Mary and to take her as his wife. See, at the time of King Ahaz, the person was a virgin at the time of the prophecy, not at the time of birth. But with Mary, she will be a virgin at the time of the birth, fulfilling not just Isaiah chapter 7, but Genesis chapter 3, the message that I gave last week, right? These are the two signs. God says that he's sending a Savior into the world, and he's going to send this Savior through a virgin birth. And it's interesting how the scripture says this is a sign. A sign. The Savior comes from the seed of woman, not man. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Isaiah 7. It's called progressive revelation. There's your nether word. There's your word this week. Proto-evangelium, progressive revelation. Prophecy is, it's progressive, it's revealed. It's interesting, in the Hebrew it says the signs, that the signs of Isaiah 7 was plural. The Isaiah 7 sign was for King Ahaz 700 years before Jesus was born, but there's a sign that's supposed to be given at that moment because there's two people that needed a sign from God. Is God awesome or what? Does anybody need a sign this morning that God's real? How you doing? How's life? You holding up okay? You got your fears and your struggles? Challenges? Do you need a sign? So, early in my 20s, I began reading Jesus. And I began reading the Gospels. And in my early 20s, I was reading two books. Well, I was reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so there's four, and Isaiah. Praise God. And there was reading the prophecies of Isaiah and looking at Jesus and seeing that Jesus is fulfilling Scripture. And in my brain, I'm like, this is pretty amazing. Is there a God? Could God know the future? Could God know what's going to happen before it's happened? So when it happens, God's showing that he's God because he knows what's going to take place before it takes place. And this is amazing. And in my journey, I remember at one point coming to faith in Christ. And I also remember I was at Bitforest Home Camp. It was college briefing, 1985. There was 400 college students up at college briefing, and there was a guy named Tony Campolo was speaking up there. It was an amazing Christian communicator in the 80s. And at the end of that camp, he said, there's some of you out there that haven't accepted Jesus. And I'm like, God, they told him I'm here. I felt like he was staring at me in a sea of 400 people. He says, and you need to, we're going to enter a discipline of silence, and we're all going to go out, and I need you guys to do business with God. And we left that sanctuary up at Forest Home out in the mountains of like Big Bear area. And I remember sitting on a rock. And I had read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I've read Isaiah 53, and I'm punching through Isaiah. And I think I was in even like Isaiah. It's like, this is Isaiah 9, by the way. Go read the one, two chapters later. This is incredible. My brain is being radically challenged. My ability of reason. Do you know that it says in Isaiah chapter 1, let us reason, saith the Lord. Give me your brain. I'll prove to you that I'm God if you'll just listen to me, right? Isaiah chapter 1, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And I'm sitting up there, and I'm like, I think Jesus is the Christ. And I prayed. And I still remember, it was my prayer. I've told you this before. Jesus, I think you're real, and I want you to come into my life. The moment I prayed that prayer, a shooting star shot across the sky. And that was a sign.
Amen, brother.
For me. And I know that's really subjective for me to say that. Because there's been shooting stars before that one. And I know there's a high probability that there's been a shooting star since that one. 36 years ago. But I know God sent that star for me. And it went, Jesus, I think you're real and I want you to come into my... I went, no way! Have you ever been given a sign from God that he's real? You've all been given a sign from God. 2,000 years ago, this sign was laying in a manger in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. All of you have been given a sign. And it's not subjective, it's objective. This is history. This is true. It's real. This is not feelings, it's reason. When God gave Ahaz a sign, it wasn't subjective, it was objective. It totally happened. With Joseph, it wasn't just, it was objective. Mary gave birth to a virgin baby and named him Jesus. Totally happened. God today is telling you that he's real. And he's given you Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and linking it with Isaiah chapter 7. And then he's throwing into it Matthew chapter 1. If you just take your brain and look at it, you need to be going, this is amazing, because it's true. It's a sign from God to you this morning, this Christmas Sunday before Christmas. God wants you to know that he's real. And that's your last note. Isaiah 7 is a sign for us today that Jesus, he's the prophesied one. Okay, so what am I supposed to do with this? You're supposed to believe him and follow him. 700 BC, in Isaiah's day, politics dominated the news. There was good kings and bad kings. In Jesus' day, politics dominated the news with Herod the Great killing babies in Bethlehem, Caesar in Rome. See, but something bigger was happening during those times. And something bigger is happening in our time. God came and dwelt among us. He comes to save us from our sins. He proves that he is God by signs and wonders. The billion-dollar question is, will we listen? Ahaz doesn't listen. Joseph did. Will you? Will you? That's the question. Here's the sign. Do with it as you wish. The mission of the Advent, of the coming of the Promised One, is to save you of your sins and to restore you to the Father. You either believe him and you accept what he did for you on the cross, or you reject him and you blow him off. Two choices. There is no third. There's no neutral with Jesus. There's no Switzerland. You either are for me, Jesus says, or you're against me. See, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's the Lord. And you say? That's your question. What will you do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? And someday the question is what will Jesus do with you? On earth today, what will you do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? He's a liar, a lunatic, or he's the Lord? But in heaven one day, God's going to look at you and say, well, what am I supposed to do with you? What did you do with my son? This is serious stuff. This is not mythology. This is not a nice Christmas story. Do you guys remember when you finally got Christmas? Do you remember when you finally got it? I was in my early 20s when I went, no way. God exists. God's real. God came to earth because I was important to him. And he came for me and saved me. And he loves me. And I still remember my first Christmas going, this is so much better than Santa Claus. And Rudolph. It's better than a Red Ryder Daisy pistol with a compass in the stock. It's the greatest Christmas gift ever given. And it's given to you. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows what you're thinking. The Almighty God sees you. The Lord knows exactly what's going on in your life. God understands that you all have struggles and trials and tribulations, as does Pastor Frank. The Lord knows that I walk in green pastures and still waters, and the Lord knows that I walk in the valleys of the shadows of death, and so do you. But the Lord wants to tell you today that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. That he prepares a place for you. The Lord is for you. The Lord loves you. The Lord comes for you. And the Lord is telling you this, not just so you feel him, but you know he's true. This is objective truth. People, your feelings are not reliable. But truth is always reliable. 2 + 2 always equals 4. Jesus is the Christ. It is true. Accept him or don't. Be King Ahaz or be Joseph. It's your call. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this Sunday morning. Lord, we all entered this place. We all, God, have life happening. Good things and bad things. Things that are awesome and things that stink. Lord, there's politics happening in our country right now. Lord, we have presidents and senators and congressmen. God, we have governors and mayors. We have Supreme Court justices. We have our military. There are many political things going on now, just as 700 years before Christ was born with King Ahaz, and just as 700 years later with Joseph. And yet, God, there is something bigger that's happening than politics. God has come. God has sent his son. God, Emmanuel, God is with us. The Savior has entered the world to save God's people from their sins. The Savior has come to call us to righteousness, call us to repentance, call us to leave the old life and follow a new life in Christ. Jesus has come to save us and to restore us and to make us one with the Father through his sacrifice on the cross. The King has come, and the King is coming. And we can run from him, but we can't hide from him, for he's here. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would bless my brothers and sisters with the sign of Isaiah 7 and the sign of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus is the sign. You're trying to speak to us, Lord. Will we listen? If there's anybody in here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to invite you this Sunday before Christmas to receive the Lord. Just like a thief hanging on a cross said, Jesus, will you remember me in your kingdom? And Jesus told that man, today you'll be with me in paradise. it was by faith that that man had in Christ that he was saved. If there's anybody in here who's never accepted the Lord, if there's anybody ever that's watching online seeing this, saying, it's Christmas and I need to accept Jesus, it's really a beautiful thing. It's a very spiritual thing. It begins with you being in your heart ready to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It starts in your heart. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a public confession. It's from with your voice that you accept and believe that Jesus is the promised one. And you pray, just like me. My weak prayer was, Jesus, I think you're real. So much for my faith. But it was mustard seed faith. For you today, to just say, Jesus, I believe you're real. I believe that you're the Christ, the promised one. And from what I can get from all this, I understand that you died on a cross for my sins. That you took a punishment that was supposed to be for me upon yourself, so I won't have to. And in the process, you wash me clean. Every sin that I've ever committed, you own now. And you took care of. And I accept your blood and your sacrifice on the cross. And by faith, I ask you to come into my life. And to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You pray a prayer like that, then welcome to the family of God. And I want you tonight to go up into the mountains and look into the sky, and maybe God will send you a shooting star. But even if he doesn't, he already sent you Jesus. It's a sign. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here that know that you're the God, that know that you're truth, that know that you're real. And God, here we are just battling every day. I pray, God, that you would just remind us today that no matter where we are and what we're dealing with, be it health issues, financial issues, relational issues, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, kids, prodigal sons, jobs, bank accounts, God, you're here. And can we just say this Sunday before Christmas, we love you, we trust you, we declare you're a good God, and we worship you, and we honor you. You are the Advent, and you have come. Encourage us this morning, I pray, Jesus. May the scriptures come alive. This I pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How you doing? You okay? You feel good? You feel good? You should.